Morning. We've been discussing halachos of Sfiras Poylim. What happens if a person fires a worker? What are his responsibilities? And as we've seen, an employer has very significant liability. Once a person starts the job, if you fire him in general, you know, unless the person finds an equivalent job rather quickly, the employer is going to be responsible to pay until the end of the term. Now, one of the questions that have been coming up constantly since we've started the sugya is what happens when you're firing for cause? What happens if the worker is just no good and you want to get rid of him? What are the halachas? So over here, before we actually discuss, the first thing we have to define is what is cause? What does it mean that the worker is not performing what he's supposed to be doing? Now there's a very interesting Shuvas HaRashba, which is quoted by the Ramah in the end of Simin Shin Vav. And he deals with a sofer. You hired someone to write a Sefer Torah, and you paid a small fortune, the $30,000, $40,000, whatever it costs today. They made a big hachnasa Sefer Torah, a big party, and a big simcha. And that Shabbos, when they take out the Sefer Torah to lane, the Baal Kaira starts laning, and in the first pasuk there's a mistake. What's the halacha? So the halacha is very clear. The Rashba says that every Sefer Torah has mistakes when it's first written. A Sefer is only human. A Sefer Torah is a lot of OCAs, a lot of psukim. So you're bound to have a few mistakes in the entire Sefer Torah. So the fact that there are mistakes, as long as it's a reasonable and normal amount, I don't know what that is, but as long as it's a normal amount, it's industry standard, that is not called a mekach tois, it's not called a pshia, and you have no right to deduct any pay from the worker. So we see very clearly from the Rashba that a person has no right to demand perfection. Your right is to ask for industry standard. Now this, you have fights about this all the time. People today very much have what I call the Walmart mentality. If it's not perfect, you bring it back, no questions asked. You know, I was actually in Walmart once and I was waiting online and there was a woman in front of me who's returning a dead goldfish. She had it for 3-4 days and it died. You bring it back. Now, it's wonderful if you have a store that has a great return policy, great. But when you hire a worker, when you're dealing with a regular person, that's not your right. Your right is they have to meet industry standard. And therefore, when you buy a house and you have a contractor, and when all is said and done, a couple of the walls are not perfectly flush, or the dimensions may be off by an inch or two, if that's the industry standard, you have no claim. The Rashba says even a bigger chiddush. You're a tough fellow. And you don't take any garbage from anybody. The worker comes and either makes a few minor mistakes and you yell and scream and you make sure by the time he gets everything done perfectly. Zok the Rashba. Let's go back to the case of the Sefer. The Sefer writes a Sefer Torah. And there are a few mistakes. That's normal. So what do you do if every sefer has mistakes? So it must be the minhag is, after you hire the sefer, after you pay in full, you then go to another sefer and hire him to check it and to fix the mistakes. Now this first sefer, after getting an earful from you, went ahead on his own, and when he finished writing the sefer Torah, he checked it himself. He found whatever errors there were, and he corrected it. Zok the Rashba, when he gives you the Sefer Torah and he gives you a bill, he can charge you the $40,000 you agreed to pay for the Sefer Torah and give you another $1,000 bill for checking it over. He's a yoyrid. He did an extra service to you, for you. So therefore, even though you didn't ask him to, since he went ahead and he fixed it up and he did the Haggah, which normally you would have had to hire another person, he has the right to send you a bill for that. And therefore, if you hire a contractor, you hire a worker, and you're right with him, and you force him to fix things up to make it perfect, al pi halacha, he has the right to bill you extra for the extra work that he had to do above the industry standard.
How do you know what that is? three nails in, but you know, eight.
That's what Dinei Torah are all about. You have to figure out what the norm is, and you know, in many Dinei Torah, you have to call around professionals and see what is industry standard. Professionals know this very well. They know good and well what is considered acceptable, what isn't. Everyone has good days and bad days, but there's a certain range of what's an acceptable job and what isn't. And you'd have to determine that. Well, that's I would imagine if you take a cruise around town and the windows all look straight, then obviously the industry standard is for it to be straight. On the other hand, define straight. If it's off, you take out a micrometer and you find out that it's off by some minuscule amount, that probably won't make a difference. And what the industry standard is, you know, depends on the place. You know, certain locations, there, you know, builders are known to cut corners and do shoddier work, and it very much depends on the place and on the particular area that you're dealing with.
What happens when I'm hiring somebody specifically because he's charging me more? Because
okay, so industry standard doesn't mean global industry standard. If you're hiring a top-notch, you know, prestigious law firm, you expect a different level of service than just the local, you know. So that will all factor in. If you will have to look at the amount that he's charging and the type of clientele that he deals with. Now this is when the issue is the quality of the work. What happens when you have a worker who is negligent? He's clumsy, he has two left feet, two left hands, and you know, he's a salesman, and every once in a while he knocks things over, he breaks things. He's mazik. At what point can you fire him? So over here the Gemara says, Gemara in Bav Mitzi, Daf Kuf Tes, and Bav Basra, Daf Chav Aleph, Omer Rava, Mikri Dardiki, a teacher, Shasla, Tavcha, Umna, Sefer Masa, these are a Moyol, someone who does bloodletting, a Sheikhet, a gardener, Kulon Kamustrum V'Aimtin Dami. They are all considered as if they're on notice, they're warned. And if they're mazik, if they're presheya, you can fire them. Kolo demilsa, kol pseida deloy hadar. Anytime a worker causes a pseida deloy hadar, irreparable damage, damage that cannot be fixed, then he's considered warned, and once he's mazik, you can fire him. If he causes damage that could be taken care of, it could be fixed up, then he's not considered forewarned, and you have to give him hasra first. Now, what is the definition of irreparable damage? So, one example of the Gemara was a blood letter. So, what does it mean that he was mazik? So, Rashi says, the Rashbam actually in Bava Basra, it means he killed the patient. The patient's dead, he's dead. The case of a moyhol, also, if a moyhol is peshaya, we can imagine that's a pretty serious issue. What about a gardener? What terrible tragedy did the gardener cause by not doing his job correctly? I mean, the Gemara is not a bunch of wacko environmentalists. What's the hezek? Zoktosis, very interesting chiddush. When a gardener, if you have a worker, he's a salesman in a china shop, and he's very clumsy, and he's balancing a few boxes and he trips, and he smashes three sets of china. Is that upsayed to lohada or upsayed to hada? Is that reparable or not? It's reparable. You may not be able to fix the china, but you make the worker pay. And once he pays you for it, you know exactly what he destroyed, you know exactly how much to give him a bill for, and you move on. There's no say the Lord. In the case of a gardener, if a gardener doesn't plant the trees correctly, he doesn't prune them, he doesn't fertilize them, whatever, he doesn't do his job correctly, what are you going to bill him for? You're going to bill him how much nicer the house would have looked if the trees would have grown better? Number one, there's probably no dollar amount. And number two, it's impossible to know. How are you going to prove how it would have grown if he would have done things correctly? So when he causes a damage, or when he causes that it's not going to grow as nicely, there won't be a profit in a way where you can't figure out what it'll be. Or if it's only a gram, he's not responsible to pay. That would be a pseudo deloy hadar. On the other hand, if he goes ahead and just smashes something, he's a mazik v'yadayim, we know exactly what to make him pay, and there, that would be a pseudo dehadar, and that will not be grounds to fire him as quickly. So it'll come out, it's very interesting, it'll come out that if you're a mazik v'yadayim, if you go ahead and you smash it, that's more cow, because we can make you pay and move on. On the other hand, if you just, the worker doesn't answer the phones, if he doesn't answer the phones, we have no way of knowing what kind of damage he caused the business. We don't know who was on the phone, whether it was a client or a telemarketer, and we don't know how much profits would have been made. So if a worker is negligent and doesn't answer the phones, that would, I believe, would be a pesed v'loy hada. And you would have grounds to fire him. Now, Rav Yosef speaks out b'shem the Ravid, that although by pesed v'loy hadar, even by irreparable damage, he's considered musrav oimid, he's considered as if he's on notice, because he knows good and well that this will not be tolerated if he causes losses. But it does not mean that if you have a person, he's had a long and distinguished career, and after 25 years he makes one mistake, you can fire him. No such halacha. Ravid says, you need a chazaka. He has to do it three times. When he does it three times, now we have a chazaka, we see this person is just dangerous, he can't be trusted. So then, even though you never warned him, you have the right, by pesed v'loy hadar, you have the right to fire him. In contrast, if it is a pesed v'hadar, if it's a damage that can be fixed, there you need both. You need to have hasra besides for the fact that he did it three times. Could be actually if you warn him three times, you don't need for him to do the hezek three times, but in the very least you'll need that you warned him three times before he did the damage, and then you'll be able to fire him regardless. Now, just it's an important point to make. We've learned a few weeks ago that when a worker damages, what's the halacha? The worker causes damage, he has to pay his employer. Nevertheless, there is a midas chasidus not to charge him. Now, it's true there's a midas chasidus, but a midas chasidus, even if you don't bill him, you now can't turn around and say, okay, I'm not going to bill you because I have midas chasidus, but I'm going to fire you because it's a pesed v'loy hadar. No, if you want to do a chasidus, do it on your cheshbon. So, of course, it's clear in halacha, if he does a hezek in a way where you could bill him, the fact that you don't because it's not the right thing to do, the right thing is to be meichel, can't be used against him, and it would be, in such a case, you would need the three times in the hasra before you can get rid of him.
It's a very common case. The person makes this kind of minor errors time and time again, more than plus the trump.
So that we said, even by a pesed v'hadar, where you need a hasra and you need three things, you need a hasra and you need a chazaka. Once he has a chazaka, once he did it three times, you can get rid of him. And the reason is that although after every time he damages, you can make him pay. You're not going to suffer, but you don't have a responsibility to put yourself in a position where someone is smashing you and being mazik you and then paying you back. You don't have to suffer that loss. You have the right to say, once there's a chazaka, enough, I don't want that damage, I don't want you to reimburse me, I want a worker that will be more careful. And once you have the three times, you have every right to do that. There doesn't seem to be any time period. I don't know if any makar of a time period. It seems that, again, this is negligence. This is not annoyance. Once it's negligence, and once it's three times, it seems that that's enough. I don't know of any makar.
Secure mechila from a worker. What happens is this is a very common case. You secure mechila from a worker, but the worker in his labor is not really mechila. Are you afraid?
Why is the worker was not secure? Why is he being mechila?
No, I see this not working out. I mean, you're gonna have to part ways.
If he did it three times, then the halacha is you have the right to fire him.
What if he's a lazy employee? Is that causing you damage?
You're
just not...
So damage for you. See, even from the case of the gardener, damage doesn't have to mean that you're broke in China. If you lost opportunities to profit, if he didn't do his job correctly, and therefore you're earning less, that would be a pesed v'loy hadar.
So you said In a case where
it's a pesed v'hadar, where he's paying you, then you need a chazaka and you need hasra. Now it happens, it's mashma in the sma and simin shin sadi zayin, that if you warn him three times, that it's enough even if he damages once.
If it doesn't affect anything, can you just say, listen, damage, I'm not going to charge you. No, this is one time.
Fine. As long as you're warning him that the clock is ticking, and if this continues, he's going to have to find another job, then that's enough.
But this only applies to employees that have employment agreements, right?
Correct. If it's employment at will and you have the right to fire him tomorrow, then you don't need any justification. But again, as we pointed out, when you hire Stam, we had the Igros Moshe that held you're hired for life. You know, again, most sheets argued and said it's, you know, a smaller time period, but you have to give some level of notice. If they're mazik, then there's no notice required. They're, once they're mazik and you have the right to fire them, you can just force them out.
According to
no, so again, if you warn him, if each time there's a mistake, you warn him, and then I would say that's the, you know, making the error is probably enough. But it's a good point. I don't know of any makar that directly addresses that.
If the employee contract is clearly at will, is it misuse to treat an employee this way or not?
Okay, even employment at will, I wonder if that means that without any reason whatsoever, you just tell them to leave. I'm not so sure that that's the minhag. It means you don't have to prove anything, you know, but just to wake up one day, I don't know. There actually is a discussion whether Hasrun requires Edim as a Chavasiyar, but in general, Bezdin is needed when there's a dispute. If the worker knows the truth, if you know that you're right and the worker is not contesting it, then you do what you need to do. Okay, let me just. There is a fascinating shulam from Igros Moshe in Chelak Aleph Siman Mem Zayin Choshen Mishpat. There was a fight between a person had a catering business and he had a worker who was actually a partner as well. And they got into a fight, he got rid of him. There was a din Torah. And he explained the reason why I got rid of him, he had a whole laundry list of complaints. He used to steal food, he used to do this, and among his complaints were, he was never in the office. He wasn't there, he wasn't answering the phones, and we lost a lot of business because of his negligence. The worker responded, "You're right, it's true, I was not in the office very much, because I was actually moving, I bought a house, I was moving because I wanted to be closer to the office so I'd be able to be more responsive and spend more hours there. But during this time, until I got my act together, until I found a house, until I moved, I was busy and it's true, I did miss a couple of days and I did miss a bunch of phone calls." What's the halacha? Zakar of Moshe, beautiful chiddush. What's this halacha? What's this concept? That when after he's mazik, you're allowed to fire him. Is this a punishment? We're going to get back at him. He caused you a damage. You're going to get it back. You're going to fire him. No, it's not a punishment. The pshat is to protect the employer. An employer doesn't have to have a liability, a loose cannon on payroll. If that's the case, Zakar of Moshe, even if the person was negligent three times, if he comes to Beis Din and explains why it happened and is able to demonstrate that something changed now. It happened because I was looking for out. Now that I moved, you don't have to worry. It won't continue in the future. In that case, with Moshe Paskins, you don't have any right to fire him. Now, obviously, if it was done three times as a chazakah, we're not going to buy an excuse that quickly. And you're going to have to really establish that it will not happen in the future enough to override the chazakah. But if it's clear that what happened was a result of circumstances that have changed, because Moshe Paskins, you will not be able to fire him regardless of how many times he did it and regardless of how much damage he caused during that time period. Exactly. It does not have to be monetary. A teacher is an example of a pseudo-loy hadar because even if you can correct the mistakes, the time that was lost. Another example of pseudo-loy hadar is a shoychet that doesn't do his job correctly. Although, if he makes the animal into a trefa, he's going to have to pay. But if the restaurant had no food to serve, or if you had invited guests for a suda, and now there's no meat to serve them, that boishes, that embarrassment is something that we won't be compensated for, and that will be upset the lehad, that will be grounds to fire him.
Yes, correct. The work has a track record that he was really, in the beginning he was working like supposed to be, and then he slept for 3 weeks. So then you can really believe that he'll return back. But if you don't have any track record from the beginning, he was slacking off.
That's true. But also, if slacking off, we're talking about a pshia. We're not talking about just not quite up to standard. When there's a pshia, he has to really justify why those pshias happened, and he has to really establish that it's really going to change.
Correct.
So I don't know how quickly Abezin is going to buy the excuse. Rav Moshe's tshuva is actually a chiddush, but I think Abezin will be a little skeptical before they take the excuses.
The point of Rav Moshe's chiddush is the chazaka stay in place now. If it happens again once, they just do it a whole 3 times with the chazaka, or it would be the same thing happens as if the chazaka is there.
I would imagine if you see it happening again, then it's just going to tell us that our assumption that his excuse was incorrect. Say the Dolayhada, correct. Okay, now just another halacha, which is probably the most common issues that really come up with Choshen Mishpat in Sfiras Poylim, is we've been discussing until now, either when a person just fires or resigns at will, they had enough, they want to move on, or what we just discussed was firing for cause. What happens if there's an oinus? You have an accountant that's working for you. Now, we were always discussing April 15th, he calls you up, he said he wants to retire, his job is too stressful. So there we said that's a davar ha'avud. He's going to cause a loss, you're going to have a problem, it's going to cost you money, so there he has no right to back out. What happens if you get the phone call on April 15th, and he says, listen, I'm very sorry, I know we've been working together for many years, but my child just got sick, and it's taking up a lot of my time. I can't continue working for you anymore. I have to spend time with the family. What's the halacha in such a case? So over here the halacha is, by an oinus, if a worker or the employer, if either side has an oinus, they're backing out because they're forced to. There the halacha is, there are no penalties. And even though it's a davar avud, an oinus is an oinus, you have the right to walk off the job. And you will even get paid for the work that you did. If the worker has an oinus, if he started the job and did something, even though now you're going to have to scramble and find someone else, even though now you may get hit with penalties because it's not going to get done on time, and even though now you may have to pay a premium to find someone to finish the job, the bottom line is, since he worked for you, and now he's backing out because of an oinus, he's entitled to get paid for what he did. Now, if what he did was useless, because you're going to have to hire someone to start from the beginning, so then, if it's his oinus, it's true it's not his fault, but I don't have to pay him because I'm not getting anything from it. But assuming what he did for me has value, I'm going to take that and bring it to the next person, even though I will suffer damage, since he's backing out because of an oinus, he's not liable for that, and I have to pay him for the work that he did.
Yeah, does he have to pay him for the future?
No. The deal was, I'm going to pay him for what he did. Whatever he didn't do, when there was an oinus, so that I don't pay him for. But for what he did, as long as I benefit from it, I'm going to have to pay him for it. Now over here, there's a very important point. The Sha'ar Mishpat in Siman Nun Hei says, wait a second. I understand, if the worker gets sick, and he can't finish the job, that's an oinus. And even though it's a davar avud, you'll get hit with penalties, what can you do? He's not responsible. If the person's child gets sick, is he an oinus? Is it impossible for him to continue working? Why? His wife is home, his wife will take care of him. If they need someone else, he'll hire someone else to come in. What's the oinus? He is able to continue working. Is that an oinus as far as oinus or Rahman Apatre? Is that a true and absolute oinus? Luchay or not? What? Okay, and Echanami, if a child's life is in danger and he needs the father to care for him, everyone agrees that's an oinus. But if it's not so extreme, in most cases, a child can survive. It's what you prefer, it's maybe what's normally done, but you're able to come in. So Sha'ar Mishpat says, why is that an oinus? Now, if you look at the Trumas Adeshin, Trumas Adeshin has a raya. His raya is from a case of Nidrei Oinsin. If you make a neder, you're going to go over to someone's house for lunch, and then the child gets sick, so you want to back out, so you're not bound to the neder. So Zog the Sha'ar Mishpat, there, you don't need a real oinus. There, all you need is that when you committed to go out for lunch, had you known that a child would have been sick, you wouldn't have made that commitment. But to make a true oinus, it's not going to be. So the Sha'ar Mishpat, although he's matmiyat, the halacha, he says, it must be in this case, when you're dealing with a worker, you do not need a true oinus. As long as it's enough, it's nidrei oinsin. As long as it's something which a worker, when he makes his commitment, his family comes first, and the commitment is, and it's I guess it's understood perhaps, that if he has this family crisis, he's going to drop the job, he's going to do what he needs to do. That's enough, even though it does not qualify as a true oinus. And therefore, the halacha would come out if a worker wants to back out, or if an employer employer wants to back out, then as long as there is some form of onus, he will be able to and without any penalty. That's a pretty big onus. There's no inyan of keeping him to work and then not paying him. So yeah, one of the igros moshe that paskins you can never fire a worker. His example of a case where you could is if business goes bad, and now you simply can't afford the workers. That's an onus. You have the right to fire them. Now, just to point out, the Shaar Mishpat was talking about a worker backing out, and there he says you don't need a true onus. In the opposite case, when the employer is backing out, there's an old fight in our chavura whether or not the same gedarim would apply. You know, it's not for now, but I'm just want to be aware it's not the same case. So let's deal with the other side now. When the employer backs out, you hire a rebbe. You hire, this is a story that happened recently. A school hired a rebbe. And then, in the middle of the year, there was a machlokes. There was a fight that had been brewing for some time, and the whole school blew up. And there was a break off. And now, the sixth grade, the school didn't need a rebbe anymore. They were down to two or three children. They wanted to fire the rebbe. So, that's a case of an onus. You started the year; they had a full class, and now something changed. Now the class is gone. There's an onus, so you should have the right to fire the rebbe. Or another example, you hire a tutor for a child, and the child gets sick. He can't learn anymore. So it's an oinus. The halacha is, you don't have to pay the rebbe. You don't have to pay the tutor. It was an oinus, you're going to be pater. But here there's an important catch. This is only true if, when you started the school year, the child was in perfect health. So you hired the rebbe, because you hired someone to tutor your child. When something happens, and now the child is sick and cannot continue learning, that's an oinus. It's an oinus to lehavle lasuki adaite, and you don't have to pay the worker. It's his loss. However, if the child was sick beforehand, or if he has a history, last year, middle of the year, he also got sick for a few weeks in the year before, if the parent should have known or knew there's a possibility of this happening, and didn't disclose it to the worker, then he's liable to pay the entire salary. So the halacha is that if it's an oinus that neither of them could have known, neither the worker nor the boss knew, or if in the other case, if it's an oinus they both were aware of the risk, then you don't pay. The worker that wants to make you pay, I'm waiting to make a baraya, he won't get paid. But if the employer knew about the risk and the employee didn't, and you didn't disclose it, then you're going to have liability. So in the case of a school, when they hired the rebbe, the politics were cooking back then, and they knew something's gonna have to happen. And, you know, the place could blow up at any minute. So in that case, if they hired the rebbe without saying anything, and then the place blew up, they would be responsible to pay the salary. On the other hand, if the politics were the talk of the town, and everyone knew that there was a whole scandal brewing, and no one knew what would happen, then, when the rebbe took the job, he knew there was a risk. He accepted that risk, and he wouldn't be able to demand to be paid. So it comes out, we've had actually, throughout the halachas of Schiras Poyel, we've seen that in general, the Poyel had the upper hand. The workers can quit whenever they want. There were a lot of halachas where the Poyel had the upper hand. This is the exception. Because if he takes a job, and either everyone knew about, both the employer and the employee knew there was a risk, or neither of them knew about the risk, then if something happens, the worker will not get paid. It's only when the employer knew about the risk and he didn't disclose it, that's when there would be a problem. Now, the most common case that this comes up, at least in Lakewood, is a person will register a child at a babysitter, and then in the middle of the year, he'll get a shteller out of town, picks himself up and moves out. And the babysitter says, you registered for a year. I want to get paid for the entire year. I can't find a replacement now. And the person says, what do you want from me? I got a job out of town. I have to move out of town. What do you want? So halach is, it'll depend. If in the beginning of the year, he was happily learning in Kollel and he wasn't looking around for anything, and suddenly out of the blue, I don't think this ever happens, but someone calls him up from Montreal, we have a dream job for you. Okay, that's an oinus. It's an oinus. Lo yavli lasuki adaite, and you won't have to pay. On the other hand, if you were negotiating the shteller from day one, and you didn't tell the babysitter there was a risk because you wanted them to hold the slot. So there, you knew there was a risk. The worker, the babysitter didn't know about the risk. And therefore, if you end up leaving, you're going to be responsible to pay for the entire year, unless they find a replacement.
The babysitter, then if you tell the babysitter, I may leave, and they said, listen, I'm not paying you unless you guarantee me.
100%.
Then he'd have the key.
100%. The reason why he didn't disclose it is because he knew that's what would happen. So basically, if you think about what's really happening, when the employer doesn't disclose the risk, it's because he wants the person to work for him. If he discloses the risk, he's afraid the person won't work for him. So he figures, I'll keep quiet, and then when it happens, I'll leave him holding the bag. Halacha doesn't work like that. Halacha is, you have a responsibility to let the worker know. At that point, the worker will have a decision. If he wants to accept the risk, he'll take you. If they don't want to take the risk, they won't accept you. But if you don't give him that option, you don't give him that information, and then something happens, then you're going to be responsible.
What happens, for example, if let's say a company or a merchant or whatever is running out of money and they have to downsize? Now there are going to be some workers that are going to go and some that are going to stay. So they're not going to be closing down. How do you determine the buyer gets hit? Don't buy me, buy him.
With difficulty. The Igros Moshe has a tshuva where he actually suggests they go with seniority. And he ends up saying, make a great all good. It's a difficult shayla. The halacha l'mayis of most places can assume is you keep your best employees.
That's not senior.
Not senior, right. The Igros Moshe starts off by saying perhaps you keep the most senior because they have kedima, you hired them first, they have first rights. Ramesh has a huge pilpul, depends on how you understand Schimas Pailam, whether it's a king, whether it's a shibud, and he ends up making basically a pshara. What he says is, if it's the kind of position that you can split, you can have, obviously it's not going to work for a Rebbe, but if you can give each of them a part-time job, he says that's what you should do. You should actually make a pshara. The most senior should get 60% and the second worker should get 40%. That's the pshara that he suggests. If you can't do it, if you can't be split in half, he says you should do a goyd agud. You should have the workers do a goyd agud. You should have them have an auction. One of them should pay the other one to leave the job. And it's whoever needs the job more will outbid the other person and pay the other person off to leave. That's again, it's a chiddush from the Igros Moshe. You know, what'll happen in the Bezin, I can't predict.
If I have to fire 10-50% of the staff, can I offer them the reduction 10-50% of the pay instead of reducing the staff?
One more time?
Instead of reducing the staff for 10-50%, can I offer them a pay cut for every 10-50% across the board?
So again, you can offer a pay cut as long as there's no contract. To the extent that you're locked in to a contract, you can't force them to accept less. If it's at will and you have the right to fire them, then you certainly have the right to tell them, listen, I can fire you, and I am firing you, and now I'm offering you another job at 85% of your salary. So you'll have to really look at what the employment status is for that particular.
In the case of a babysitter where you take a spot for a year and you find that you show up to bring your kids on the first day, you find the babysitter is in her 8th month pregnant. You went to take her, you went to work to that playgroup, and you know, she didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have an assistant, so that means she's going to go to church, she's going to apply, and you don't know who she's going to hire.
Okay, so that's a sugya of Nekach Tois. That's what we'll get to there in Mitzvah. It's not Sugya of Spoiler, but it's Nekach Tois. It's on our list. I don't think we're going to do it next, but afterwards we'll probably get to Nekach Tois.
Basically, now I'm going to talk recognizing the default relationship between a worker and a boss. So when I hire a worker, I told him to get $15 an hour.
I think all employment is generally understood to be at will. Again, there is a certain amount of notice, minimum notice that's expected, and whether it's 2 weeks or it's probably. Not really, because the notice period is that you're basically committed every day that he shows up. You're committing to keep him for at least another 2 weeks. And therefore, if you fire him without giving him that notice, unless it's for cause, you'd be liable to pay for
the. If it's
at will is at will. Again, there's severance. Severance is a separate issue, which, you know, unless there's a minog, it's only if there's a midas chasidus, but it's not mikra hadin. But, you know. In what?
At will or whatever.
Not directly, because it's a private matter between two individuals and two Jews. However, the Chazon Ish points out dinim chusedim will very often impact what the minhag is. That to the extent that the norm is you give 2 weeks notice or whatever, or if that becomes the norm,
your family may not believe that because he's not.
So they would. It will generally change the minhag or change the norm. Because if that's how you have to treat your employers, that's how all the goyim deal with it. So by the reality is, Rav Moshe points out that will become the minhag rather quickly. There will be nafkaminas, whether it's dinim chusedin or minhag, but in general we assume that this is how everyone hires people because these are the laws and everyone knows it. Then that generally will create a minhag. That was last week's year, about the unions. Yes, if there is a union and you know the rules, then it's Sever V'Kibo, according to most Paiskim. Again, there were some exceptions, but...
Is there a union?
Certainly. I mean, certainly. Giving it stock, especially when it's being done in the context of work where there's no busha, is a tremendous form of stock. Yeah, well, if you don't have money, we learned that it's better than an oinus. The Gemara Darsh and the Solom Pula Sacher is Chad Boiker. It's only the whole lav is when you have money, you don't pay it. If you don't have the cash, it's not pshat that there's an oinus. If pshat is, the isser doesn't apply in the first place.
I think over there you said that imamish can't have anything today.
Correct. If he has money. Right. Then you're not gonna have a hedger so fast. Just to end off, we've spent the past almost 3 months learning through halachas of Schiras Bailim. And we've learned through many halachas I think that people found to be a bit surprising. We've seen that in general there's a very strong bias that halacha has towards a worker. We've learned that a worker's responsibility is industry standard. You can't demand perfection. You can just ask him to produce the norm. We've learned that if a worker, even if he damages, he causes hezek, you can't fire him so fast. You have to give him another chance. You have to warn him. And even when he does do the hezek, the halacha is, at least with nimishur sadin, you shouldn't charge him. You should be moichel. You should be mevater. And you shouldn't hold him responsible for the damage that he did. We've also learned that when he finishes the job, when it's time for him to retire after many years, although in halacha there's no chiyuv per se to give him severance unless in the absence of a minhag, but the chinuch said that there's a mitzvah of hanaka, and al kopanim there's a mitzvah to go ahead and if you benefited from him, he served you well, you should show your hakaras hatov and you should give him something, some form of hanaka to compensate him and a little bit of a bonus. I think to many people, it was a bit of a surprise and a chiddush to what extent the Torah seems to be looking out for the benefit of the workers. But perhaps the pshat is that although when we look at our workers, we have very high demands and very high standards, we're all poilim. Hayoyim, katsar, amalocha, maruba, apoilim, atzelim, vababayis, daichik. We're all avdei Hashem. And while for our workers we seem to feel that if we're paying their salaries we can demand perfection, but in our avoida, unfortunately, halavai we meet industry standards, it's certainly not quite up to par. And although when our poilim cause hezek and it cause damage or pseidus loy hadar, we get extremely upset and have very little rachmanos. Yet when we turn to our true boss, we expect a chance, another chance, another chance, and vitzer, and vitzer, and vitzer. And finally, when our job is done, and we no longer have the strength to continue our work, we ask for hanocha, we ask for a severance pay. I worked so hard for so many years, I may not have a kayach today, but we still ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to treat us with a special rachmanus. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us, mida keneged mida. And therefore, perhaps, the underlying thought behind these halachos of schiras poilim is not just the relative the rights of Chosh and Mishpa, what his rights are, what your rights are, but is to teach us how to act, and to make us act in a way where midah keneged midah will be able to ask for the same chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now I've noticed whenever there's a shir on Choshen Mishpat, so inevitably people in the back of their minds, there's a little scorecard. You tell them a halacha, and they sit there and they're thinking, okay, what is it like legally? How does it compare to what the practice is? And start making cheshbonos. Does the halacha make more sense? Is it more sense the way we do it, the way the government has it? Now, putting aside the hashkafa issues of these kind of comparisons, but I think it misses the point. A law, a civil law, is there to make the economy work, function the most efficiently. If the economy will do better if the workers are responsible, then we make the workers responsible. The economy will do better when the employer is responsible, then we shift the responsibility to him. Halachos of Choshen Mishpat are not about making an economy work. The halachos of Choshen Mishpat is to teach a person for himself how he should be acting to another person, how he should be treating his employee. And therefore, it's not just the question of, I'm learning Choshen Mishpat so that if I get into a fight with my worker, I'll know what his rights are, what my rights are. It's a question of understanding the hashkafa of the Torah, and understanding the hashkafa, how we should be approaching another person, another relationship, and what the correct way of dealing with it is. Therefore, it's just another point and another factor when a person is learning the halacha. It's not so much a question of what will apply in a practical sense and what won't. It's what am I taking away and in the approach and in my outlook in dealing with other people. I just wanted to make an announcement that this Motzei Shabbos, the Night Seder is having in Lava Malka at 8:15 in L'Chaim Manor. Everyone who's part of the program and enjoys the benefit of the Night Seder should please make an effort to come and to show your support.